Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon. It's Shelly with the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my little fur ball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. I hope everybody's Sunday is going well. And in the second part of the show, I will be talking about self-care, about the independent film I've been talked of. I like the first song before I bring, I hope anybody that's in the queue will hold on for one moment. I'm not ignoring anyone, but I usually do bring on stuntmen, people that have been in the business for a long time. And I had prayed to God to give me a bigger voice because there's some things in this world that I do take to heart very much. And when I see certain things, I hope that I'm able to make a difference. Now, I'm not too sure how much I can make a difference in a radio show, but to reach out to people in the media. Because in my internet show, I've seen having the show over the past year and a half, I had reached people in China, Netherlands, many other places, UK, England, you name it, people from different places, different continents have tuned into my show. And I've seen in the archives, you know, people still listening to my shows, you know, they were recorded live and they keep going back and listening to them. Today's show, it's really really a tough subject to talk about, and I'm doing everything to be this strong warrior woman, and I do take to heart something that I've seen it happening, and there's a YouTube video going around, and it's with a man, and forgive me because I do talk funny sometimes. I try to pronounce names as best as I can. His name is Leon Rossi, L-E-O-N Rossi, R-O-S-E-Y. And if anybody has seen this video lately, it shows that this man was in a vicinity of where these cop cars are. Now, I have to be honest. I'm originally from Boston. You know, you see, I saw cop cars all the time. And the way, you know, you see cops, it's just a normal thing. I know a lot of people, maybe they're in different places, they don't see. I've seen it. I've worked in the inner cities and stuff. I've lived in the inner cities of Boston, and you get used to the fact of seeing police cars lined up, police, you know, police officers here and there. You just don't think anything. So from my view, from what I'm seeing from this YouTube video, Leon, you know, had his car. He had his dog. Yes, the fact is people freak out when you see a bigger dog. It was a Roddy. And I worked at a doggy daycare, and let me just say something first of all. I worked with Roddies. I worked with pit bulls. I worked with German Shepherds. You named it. I've worked with these animals. And we all know it's a, you know, responsibility and such, but the fact of watching that video, if you see it and you bring it up, it shows Leon, and he's walking. You know, everybody, there's a whole bunch of people there taking pictures. You can hear them talking. Leon is walking his dog, Max. And he walks it over to the side of Seamus. And you people can see it yourself. But be fair warned, because there's something that happens in the video that's kind of very disturbing. Leon's holding his dog. You know, dog's all perfectly calm and such. Just taking pictures. And he walks. And he just takes pictures. He goes to his car. And you hear the police officers down the street from him. And they're coming towards him. Now, he's like, you know, you just know that something is going to happen. So what Leon did, he did a very smart thing. He did not resist or anything. He put his dog, Max, in the car. He put him in there. The window was rolled down. And what he did, and Leon took his wallet out, was holding in his hand. When the police came to him, he turned around, put his hand behind his back, and they arrested him. He was not resisting arrest. Now, his dog was getting a little bit upset. Now, they were going to take him in and stuff. The dog jumped out of the car. And what happened, he was trying to, and even I could tell, Leon was saying to his dog, no, 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 Max. And he was trying to, you know, calm the dog down. Now, the two police officers that was holding him, you know, I don't know the whole conversation, but you know that the dog was getting calm. And another cop comes out from nowhere, shoots the dog, not just once, but quite a few times. And the dog, you see, it's very emotional. There's kids around. So the thing that I do not get in this day and age, now, police officers should actually be prepared for any situation. As far as I know, myself, I am not a police officer. I'm trained in a dojo, and they said to always, you know, in martial arts, always be prepared for any situation. The thing that I do not get, and I'm not a vigilante going out for police officers. I don't want to have harm to anyone. The thing that I do not get, are police officers not allowed to hold tasers? Why could not, instead of the police officer shooting the dog that came over, why couldn't they tase it? I don't want to see anything happen to the dog, but shooting it not just once, but a few times. I do not get this, and I've watched it over again because I try to be biased, okay? I try to stand there, you know, as a biased, if that's the correct term, to see, you know, to look at all points of view, because, you know, people are going to all say, this is Leon's fault. Well, not for nothing, I come from Boston. I'm not saying I'm all tough and stuff like that. I've come from the inner cities, and I do see, like in that video out there, and let me just say, for everybody that wants to go and say that Leon was ghetto, he is not ghetto, because I saw the comments on the YouTube, and it's like, it's made me very angered that people would look at this man, color of his skin. That man, if you see pictures of him, he does not have his pants sagged down around his ankles. He's not all gangster. He is a regular, normal, working man. And on top of that, I think he's also a business owner. So for anybody out there that just wants to justify by seeing the color of his skin or that he has a Rottweiler, you people need to do your homework and look into any more. From what I found out and did my homework, from what I was finding out a little more with Leon, which I do hope he does call and say, there was something else he was also fighting for, his civil rights and something else. I don't know the whole story. So You know, for you people to even know what's going on and just judge by one of them, you people do not know. Do your homework and do some research, and you find out that this man is a man, and he deserves a little bit of respect and a little bit of dignity. And I do ask for any callers that do call in on my show, two numbers to call in, 347-989-1473. 347-989-1473. The other number is 877-907-7217, 877-907-7217. And I do ask, please, let's do this without the vulgarity, the swearing. Let's talk like human beings, because this will show that we are better and show that we aren't vigilantes. We can talk about a subject without bringing any names and such. And everybody that's in the chat room, everybody that's listening, thank you very much. I do see that I have my first caller, and I'd like to bring this person on the air. So give me one moment, and everyone, thanks again for tuning in. Okay, let me see. I'm going to bring the caller in. Hello. Thank you, caller. And how are you doing today?
Hi, Shelley. How are you? I'm calling you from Augusta, Georgia.
Hi. And what would you like to talk about today? Were you watching the video with Leon and Max?
Listen, that just broke my heart. I had to stop the video when Max went to the sidewalk. And it made me so angry because I just buried my Rottweiler, Jeffrey. And it doesn't really, you know, I agree. The color of one's skin and all this other stuff, that is so, it's so demeaning, you know? What I did, though, I was very appalled that they did use the firearm. And I agree with you about the taser. What happened to pepper spray? Now, this is what I've done. I've ordered some pepper spray, and I'm going to be printing up decals with paw prints on it, and I'm going to be sending that to the Hawthorne Police Department in the honor of Max.
I think that's really a good thing.
I'm so angry about it, you know?
Yeah, it's very disheartening, and I know... You know, I'm an animal lover, and I mean, I don't want to, like, try to sound like a vigilante. I want to go kill out all the policemen and stuff, but it just makes
you think.
In this instance, it did not have to happen, and you can be trained. I mean, have a taser or something where I know I don't want to see the dog. I didn't want to see anything happen to Max, but if you really think about it, if they're really thinking that the dog was going to bite them or something like that, why not take them? That's what I do not get. I do not understand. And I don't know, personally, I do not know. I cannot judge the police officer. Was he someone that, you know, is he hiding behind a badge or anything like that? And on top of that, I don't know if there's any remorse. That's what I think everybody is really getting more angry about. Not just that the police officer had shot the dog, not just once but twice, but what about the remorse, if you'd like, afterwards? Because a normal human being, if you have any towards and animals, I mean, how come he did not write a statement? Maybe they're telling him not to do anything, because a normal human being has feelings. And if you, for me personally, if I accidentally, you know, hurt something, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, because we have a conscience. And, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, I just don't even know how to take this. Like, I know everybody's like saying, let's go get this police officer, you know, all these things, but I think we, you like yourself, you know, what you're doing is a very positive thing. And that's what we need to do, is to have people like yourself do very positive things. And I think maybe that's something you can do on a Facebook page or something, or write about it. If you have any instant media, write what you're doing, saying, you know, with what happened, let's try doing this. And explaining maybe they can go, police officers can go into training with tasers or pepper spray and stuff. You know, this
is
something
they need more education,
need,
you know. My Yorkie would have done that, you know, would gone over there. If that were me, any dog would have. And it was clear to me watching the video that Max was not trying to hurt the police officers. And it was, to me, it was overkill. You know, it was awful. It was awful. I had to hide the entire post. Every time it kept coming up, I had to hide it because I couldn't see it no more. But I did write Mr. Leon a letter of my condolences, and that's what I plan on doing. But I think the police officers definitely need more training in the animal department, you know?
Yeah, it's true, because another thing, too, is, like, when I worked for the doggy daycare, like I said, I lived in the inner cities of Boston, and, you know, I had my uniform on, I had the blue shirt, and it said the name of the place, and I walked animals. And I would have to walk a certain route. And like I said, there was police officers. They parked just like in the video, you know, and it's like I have no criminal record, no nothing. But if I was holding certain dogs, they wouldn't do anything. But police officers, what had happened, if I walked a Roddy or a Pitbull,
uh-huh,
I would see their hand go to their gun. Like, just, I would see that, and I'd be like, what? Why? And it was like, okay, I'm just going to do my route, do my job, and do what I got to do and get back and bring the dog back inside from, you know, taking care of these animals. I never understood that, and it's something where, you know, you have to be trained to take care of these animals. I mean, I've never owned a Roddy, but I've had the experience of working with them. And to see that, to see the difference, mm-hmm, of walking different animals, I mean, little dogs, when I was working with them, I got bit by little dogs more than I actually got bit by, you know, any big dog. I don't think I even got bit by a big dog, because people, they think because a dog is little that it's okay for them to nip and bite, and they think it's cute. I mean, all
right,
dogs should have obedience training, but even going back to, you know, sometimes I tend to get off the subject here, but going back to the video, I've watched it so many times, and I just think that it was, you know, he was not in the wrong at all. He was not in the wrong, and like I said, he did the right thing. He didn't resist arrest. He took his wallet out. He put his
hands
behind his back and
turned around.
You know,
that's
saying?
Right. I saw the whole thing too. Right.
You know,
but you know, it's
you
like
really...
you were talking. People need to be educated. In February, I rescued a pit bull. Now, I had no experience with pit bull ever in my life, and me not being educated on the pit bull had the stereotype, and that was my own fault, because I did not know. But the pit bull is now part of my family. She's the sweetest thing. But unless people are educated, they're going to have this stereotype of the big dog, and they're going to foresee them as a threat. You know, education is very important.
Yeah. Do you remember, I don't know if you don't mind me saying, I mean, I'm not in my 20s. A lot of people think I'm a lot younger than I am, but I remember each decade, there is an animal they want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
I am not
That's
saying,
right, Doberman,
I remember,
Rottweiler.
Yes, in the 70s, it was the Dobermans. And, you know, in the 80s, it was the Rotties. And, like, 90s, and now it's, like, the pit bulls and stuff. Every single decade, there is another animal they're trying to get rid of. And all this fear, it is fear. And that combination with having a badge and a gun, it's more likely proven deadly. They even, not just Rotties, but they've even gone into, like, other people's houses for other dogs and stuff, and that I don't understand. But, you know, getting back to, like I said, sometimes I get off track here, but getting back to the video, if you really, really notice, when someone's getting arrested, you're just standing there, right? And this is what I was, like, kind of like, whoa, he did a very smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, just him pulling out his wallet and turning his back and giving his hands to the police officer. Usually you would go, you know, a police officer, you come up and they tell, you know, they read your rights. I don't know. Did they even read, like, his rights to him or anything like that? He just turned around and you saw they handcuffed him right away.
Right. That's
so
what I saw,
it's
too.
It's kind of like, that just is really strange. But I think it's the fact that he had filed, I don't know the whole story in it. I don't know if Liam would call in, so I just hope that he does. But he's in mourning now, and I so respect that if he doesn't call in. But it's just the fact is, you know, he was fighting for something. Like I said, I didn't find out the whole story, but I was reading and doing my homework more a little bit about Leon. He was trying to fight for something to do with civil rights before this. Something, I don't know if it was in his job or something else before this. So,
it was something about
being detained
or something.
Yes.
I read
it
too.
Mm-hmm. So there was something going on before then, and all these people that are judging based on a video, and like I said, I'm not going to go into the negative comments about it. And I'm sitting there going, I was like, people, you need to do your homework before you judge anything. And they're just going off, all these stupid, ignorant people, just going off saying all these rude things. I says, do your homework, find out what's going on before you're judging. So, you know, they know about him, and he was trying to do something before this incident. And it's just so weird that this happened like that, and you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't sit right in my stomach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that they probably singled him out, really. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, the other thing I noticed too, and you can hear people, there was many people, you know, doing videotaping and such. I saw it in the yard, but it had a fence, and I think there was girls there. And then if you look in the beginning of the video, too, on top of it, where his car is, it's a little blue car, over to the left, it shows for a second, there's a big guy, bald head. And I don't know if he was another color. He looked white to me from the back. I could be wrong. He looked like he was videotaping, too. Leon said something. He spoke to him. He turned his head, and then you didn't see the guy afterwards. And all the people across the street, which were pretty close, I don't know how many people were there, they were videotaping. All Leon did was walk by the cars. He didn't go past the cars. There was no tape. There was no yellow tape or police tape. He walked back, put the dog in the car. So that's just really... It just, like, got my goat because he did not do anything wrong. Because people are going to say, well, you're an idiot for going over there and that. But there were so many other people there. And if there's children there, a police officer should think before anything else that there's kids there. You know, they need to step it up. You should be aware of your surroundings. The police officer should be three steps ahead of what something's going to happen, of all scenarios. That's what they should be trained for. And maybe I'm in the wrong because I'm not a police officer, but from what I know, wherever you go out in this world, from the little bit of training in dojo and martial arts, you got to be aware of your surroundings at all times of everything that's going on. Even in a peaceful place, you're supposed to know what's going on all times, and you think that would be embedded in a police officer's head. Do you know what I'm saying?
Why didn't the other people get arrested for videotaping or obstructing, what was it called, obstructing something?
Yes, sir. Obstructing, I don't know what, it was the most stupidest thing I ever heard. He wasn't obstructing nothing. He just walked
I didn't see that either, right.
Yeah, he just walked where there was nothing blocked up. He didn't go in front of the cars. He was just a little bit in front of the other people. So if there was what they were saying, I don't know if it was a hostage situation or whatever was going on there with the police officers and that, they saw everything. Why did not the police officers that were standing across the street, the two of them or that came to arrest Leon, why did they not come and tell everybody to clear out? Do you know what I'm saying? If they're going to tell Leon, why did they not tell the people that were in the house, you know, the girls that I saw, I think it was women, I think it was like three girls in the yard, go back in your house. Why did they not tell everybody? Do you know what I'm saying? Because if it's that much of a dangerous situation, because they want to turn everything around on Leon. That's what they want to do. They want to flip this whole scenario and blame him for the shooting of the dog. You know,
I agree.
It's something, you know, why did they not have, instead of those two police officers across the street, why did they not come on where the cars were and say, okay, can you all, like, just clear out? Why is it just, they're just going to make an example of Leon? All these things that are untold, you know it's never going to come out because you know there's never going to be a statement about it or nothing. Everything is going to just be swept underneath the rug. And that's what happens all the time. I mean, this instance, I mean, the way with media going viral and stuff, I think this just shook a lot of people, especially dog owners. And it's just something that's very vile and disgusting.
I mean, after I saw it, I've gone on the internet and I was Googling, and then I found out Leon and his last name, and then I found him on Facebook and sent him a little letter because my heart was hurting so much for him. And I called my sister in New Mexico and I said, "Have you seen this?" And she said, "Heidi, I can't watch the video." But then she called me back a couple hours later, and she said that she had called PETA over there and talked to them. And she said, call their number. I said, I already did. I called Virginia. She says, no, call in that city. And I called them, and they said they were investigating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what PETA can do because they can probably, I mean, I don't know what they can really look into or something like that. It's, because they're probably going to say, oh, this is just an instance. You know, if somebody's going to talk up, I think it's us as maybe not a big organization, but as people, if we stand together and we write in a peaceful way. You know, a lot of people, like I even see comments, you know, really things where there's some vulgar language, but I figure, you know, to speak in a positive way. I mean, I don't always know these big, huge words and such, but if we speak from our heart, we stand together, and we just speak nonviolently, and more people keep coming. That's going to get more attention because when people protest, you hear about certain things that happen. But if you really sit there and you just write and you become a warrior with words and warriors with a pen, like many, like a lot of motivational speakers and such like that. I think that's going to get a lot more attention. And what you're really doing, you know, like with, you know, the flyers and the pepper spray. And I mean, mm-hmm. I know that some states, I don't know if you need, if there's an FID card. It's kind of hard because I guess it depends on states with, you know, I know it's for the police officers and such where they probably can carry and such. They might, you know, I mean, I couldn't tell you if it's something they would look into, but if you help push that, maybe it's a, what do they call it, a legislation to help train the officers. Maybe they can get some classes or something, you know, some training for these situations.
That's right. Yeah, they definitely need to step it up out there. But I don't think, I think that if it would have been anybody else, I don't think it would have happened.
Mm.
I think that they were probably already had a... had some kind of issue with the prior thing that Leon's got going on with his attorney where I read, and they saw him, and they saw the dog, and they're going to, okay, well, you know, and then they probably didn't even know any of this was being videotaped as far as the dog getting shot. I'm sure they're pretty sorry about it now.
Yeah, and it's you know, I mean, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for decades, and what's really... bothers me is, like, I try very hard to talk about this more and more. The problem is, it's like when I speak about it, and it's like, well, what do you know, Shelley? What would you know about these situations because you don't live there and all these things and just bring it up? But I know what goes on because, you know, I do my research. I do my homework. And I have people that are close to me in my heart that teaches me about things. I've known people that live out there in California. This stuff, it goes on every day. And people that mm-hmm. don't live in places like that, they will never understand. And people think I'm stupid for talking about these things. They've, you know, because it doesn't happen in their area, they're like, well, you know, it is the millennium and, you know, that stuff doesn't happen. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This stuff does not happen. It's right there on video in the media, right there, especially in YouTube. And going on beyond that one YouTube, I don't know if you've seen it too, it's going to show Leon, you know, about he was interviewed a couple of times. You can
yeah,
tell
I
that
saw
this
the,
man
I saw
is,
one,
is
yeah.
real. Yeah, and he's talking, and he's crying. He's just a man. This man works. And he's just, you know, he's just, this was his one of his babies. And for someone to tear that pot out from his heart, that's what really bothered me. And I don't even know if he's ever going to be vindicated for this. You know, I feel like they're going to just sweep it underneath the rug, and it's never, I mean, I just wish something could change. I don't know what myself can do, but maybe talk about this on the air. And I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything, so I don't know about laws. And I try to learn, all I can do is talk. And if I can get a bigger voice and have people, you know, come on the show like yourself, and we can talk about it, and then bring awareness of it, I think maybe that's the best thing I can do. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I really do. I can't, you know, watching it, and after that, I just couldn't, I was in shock. I was in total shock, but I hurt so bad for him. And as far as him getting any kind of, you know, restitution or anything, I think you're right. It'll probably be swept under the rug. But you know what? It's like me. I don't have any biological children. All my children have four legs and eat out of bowls. If something like that happened to one of mine, honestly, I don't know how I would react. But he's got plenty of grace to be able to stand like that, cry, and like that. I don't think I would do that. I think that I would have just completely lost it, and I might be sitting behind bars or something. I really would, honestly. He handled it with such grace.
Yeah, he was very dignified and stuff. But on top of that, I don't even know, because the hearing part of the interview, I don't even think they let Leon have Max's body back. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't know. I don't know updated, but hearing that, and it says, oh, in the beginning of the video, Leon said, part of an interview, I don't know if his friend was videotaping, and said, you know, I couldn't get the body back. And I assume he was talking about Max, and I'm like, how much is this guy going to go through? So I don't know. And I'm sitting here going, that's like insult to injury, because if you really think about it, too, another point, if someone is getting arrested and they have children, right, what do the police officers usually do? They take the children or the possession.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They take the kids or whatever. why couldn't they put the dog? Maybe I already mentioned this, but why couldn't they put have, you know, since Leon wasn't, you know, being aggressive and stuff, says, look, we're going to take you out of handcuffs, since they probably already knew who he was, saying, why don't you grab your dog, put it in the back car seat of another cop car, then we'll take you separately. Now, you know, that's another solution right there. That's all they had to do, because how many, he didn't look violent at all, and like I said, he just didn't resist arrest. So why couldn't they have taken the dog and put it in the back seat of another car? Because like I said, any child that someone's getting arrested, they will take the child and put it in another cop car. So that's another thing that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I mean, that's like, that's what I would think. And if you're coming from somewhere because you can see the third officer, you know, just coming out and just shoots the dog, and the other two guys, I think, that were holding him knew that, you know, he was trying to attack them. But if you're coming around and doing something like that, I'm like, really? I don't understand. I don't understand it either, Shelley.
I still shake my head. That's why I have to hide. Every picture that I see that says something about the video, I cannot watch it again.
Yeah, it's really hard for a lot of people, and I hope, I pray to God, I hope, you know, there's a lot of love being sent out to Leon, and I'm on the other side of the United States. I'm up here in Maine. I'm originally from Boston, and Leon's out there in California. I wish somehow, you know, it's something like I wish I really could give him a hug or something, and it's like I don't know what really to do at this point because I'm only one person, but even what you're doing is, you know, that little thing about, you know, the information and the pepper spray, you know, sending it here, you know, hopefully to show the world that we're just regular people trying to make differences and show you can have a peaceful solution for some things. Why is everything a solution? When someone's getting arrested, you've got to be violent. There's no need of it, and that's what I think they need training in, is peaceful solutions. And someone also said that they mentioned it was, what is the correct term, peaceful police officers? I think that was another thing. There was, what's the correct term? There's peace officers that are actually, I think, were on scene, peace officers or something like that, and they were trying to prevent any problems. Well, they didn't seem to do a pretty good job that day.
No. I don't know why the firearm had to come out at all.
Yeah, that's something where... You know what they should do, the police officers that the station should do? I know this isn't going to make up for it or something besides, you know, training the police officers. Seriously, I mean, even though this had just happened, they should rectify the situation. You know, it's like, I know they had, I think they had mentioned on another one where they're showing a picture mask and they're saying the Hawthorne police officer station, whatever, they're so sorry or whatever. Instead of just saying sorry, why don't they do something about it? You know, besides everybody trying to get the police officer fired, why don't they rectify the situation besides an apology? I know this does not make it right. You know, maybe help Matt, maybe not right now because this had just happened. You know, maybe help him to get another dog. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like it's not going to make up for what had happened. It's not going to ever make up for something like that. But if they're kind of like, this is the public that is speaking out, why can't they do something for him and rectify the situation? I don't know, maybe the police officer, you know, I mean, why can't you do penance or something? Because everybody, I don't know the way to think because it's like everybody does stupid things. And I'm not sticking up for the police officer or anything. He, like some sort of penance or something, community service. Like, go out into the, you know, the commuters. Why aren't the police officers, I mean, I can't say every police officer in the world is like this. Why can't they go out into the community more and see what's going on? I'm not talking about on duty. Why isn't it, is it, you know, to be required to, you know, to go out and do community service? You know, part of their job.
Or work in the animal control or something like that, you know.
Something like that. Why can't they be part, if they're going to be part of the community instead of sitting in cars, or, you know, having detailed things, why can't they go out and do a community service, go among the community where they are to be with the people and to see what people, to sit down with them? I know police officers personally, and they really do that. They actually really do that, and I can't say every police officer in the world is really like with that guy that, you know, in the video, because I know someone that goes out to the community, they do charity work. Why don't most police officers do that? Because when you're going out into the community, you're really seeing how the people are. And I think that's another, it should be requirement of what a police official is to see what's going on in the community. But I don't know, maybe I'm crazy for saying that.
No, we just got a new sheriff, and he's very well making himself familiar in the community, and he has like an open door policy. And
oh,
if
really?
If you have a problem or something, and I think it's great because crime is down now in Augusta, and he's really, really a good sheriff. He really is. He's great. And the police officers here, I mean, we don't just see them passing by. You know, you see them at the store, hey, how are you, this kind of thing. It's really a lot better.
I wish it was more like that. I mean, I don't know, because you said you live in Texas. Is that correct?
No, Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia. Okay, I'm sorry, my bad.
The golf course place.
Okay. It's like, I think with certain places where you live and such, it's just, unless you live in a certain place, and I think especially where Leon was living, and people just assumed from the comments that I'm seeing, and I go, it's ignorance. He wasn't living in the ghetto. I think the way the street looks and stuff, it looked like the ghetto, and it's not the ghetto. And it's just the perception of what people were thinking, because, like I said, I won't talk about the comments, but I was reading them, and I'm like, I'm so blown away. I was like, do these people even know anything that's going on? They just assume, but, you know, turn it around, because even Leon says, you know, people are blaming me that it was my fault. And it's like, it's the ignorance of people that need to do their homework. He's not, I mean, me, I was born colorblind. I have many different brothers of, different races.
You're like
you
me.
Know?
See, I don't look at people in black and white. I see people. I don't see color.
Yeah.
I see people. And a lot of people don't see people. They see people. They're either black people or white people. And there's a lot of old school people that are never going to come into the now world where people are just people. It's a black and white thing. I hate it. I can't stand it. And I've never been like that, you know?
Yeah,
and until people just see people as people and not a color, it's going to be that divided. You're going to have this ghetto mentality. People think, oh, just because you're African American, you live in the ghetto. But it's not true. It's not.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's to everything too. And also the other thing that I've noticed too is because I work in films and such, and I've seen things that have happened over it's like just knowing things and studying and doing my history and such, and seeing the history where they're showing in, you know, if it's someone's lighter skinned or darker skinned, and even going in films, if someone is darker skinned, they're going to put them as a bad guy. And people fight with me all the time, unless, like, you know, it's like people that don't seem to be in a situation, that's never been in a situation when they're in films, they're going to be like, oh, no, that doesn't happen. And I'm telling you straight out, in filming, from what I've seen, what goes on, if you are someone that's lighter skinned, you get picked as a good person, like the good guy. Someone that's darker skinned will be cast as a bad guy. And if you go look up films, I mean, like once in a while, it's not always that way. But through the history, even in films, this has happened. And I'm sitting there going, what? And even what they do in films, they also whitewash it. And I was sitting there, and here's an example. Now, this is, you know, it was many different races. And I know this is not an African-American film. And it might be changing the subject a little bit. But in films, they do whitewash films. From going, you know, like I said, it's just a little bit off the topic, but I'll have a point. Even with Bruce Lee, they did it to Bruce Lee. They told him he was too Asian for a film, for something called Kung Fu. Yes, they casted David Carradine, who did not know anything about martial arts, and they said Bruce Lee was too Asian. So they kind of whitewashed the show. Going in, I mean, like I said, there's many different films, and I could go on and on. And the one that they did, which really bombed, and they whitewashed the film again, and I'm going to talk about an issue, besides the fact that the lead character, an airbender, was Asian, they casted it as a white kid. And I'm sitting there going, what? And what they also did is they kept all of the bad guys, all the bad kids and everything like that, they kept them darker skinned. Yet all the good characters were all lighter skinned. And I'm going, that was totally whitewashed. So
they do this
in films. And it's like, we need to have more breakthroughs in filming and media. And it's I swear to God, this is crazy as it sounds. Why can't we show more positive, you know, in like multiracial, you know, films? Why do we have to show the negativity? You know, I mean, I'm glad I'm getting to work with more and more people of different backgrounds. And they're all good people. They're all honorable. And even though it's in the stunt world, martial arts stuff, everybody is one. In this universe, we are all one. We're all connected together. And it may sound like some sort of matrix thing, but if you do your study and such and look it up, you'll see that we are all one. And we need to help each other, you know, and get through things. And, you know, I don't even think about race until an incident happens like this. It's like, oh, what the heck? Because I just go back to being Shelly, you know, happy-go-lucky Shelly, and, you know, just have, you know, everybody's the same to me. If you're crazy, you're crazy, whatever like that, doesn't matter. But then I hear something like this, and I see a video, and I'm going, really? This is still going to happen? This stuff has got to be stopped. This has got to be, it's got to be nipped in the bud somehow. I don't know if I'm going to be still alive to see to make any difference, because everything, you know, it goes back to topics warning about Martin Luther King and stuff like that. Maybe things didn't exactly change when he was alive. I wasn't alive when, you know, I think it was a couple, you know, years when he, I don't know if I was actually alive when Martin Luther King got shot and his dream really happened afterwards. But how much more advanced have we come since Martin Luther King Jr.? I don't know. I mean, we've come a little bit of ways, but it's still, we're still divided.
That's we're never going to see it in our lifetime.
I don't know. I just hope that by reaching out and just speaking today, I don't know how much difference I will make, because I'm telling you, I'm a nervous wreck right now, because like I said, this is a topic where I don't know. I honestly want to cry. And I know, you know, they show in the media you're supposed to be a certain way and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know what to do. And everybody says, you know, Shelly, you'll find a solution. If my voice gets bigger and I'm allowed to talk about more topics like this, and I'm not being violent, I'm not being disrespectful or anything, I'd like to be honorable and talk about these subjects and learn more and have people call in, you know, and just be able to not disrespect each other, talk in an open heart, in an open forum, and be able to do that and show people we're all human from all walks of life.
I agree, Shelly.
And just focus on that. Yeah. And I just pray. And another thing that's very hard, and I try not to, you know, in my belief, okay, I was, you know, in the church, I was an altar girl. But I learned about Buddhism, and I learned about, you know, other religions and stuff. If I happen to mention the word God, people go ballistic. I don't push my beliefs upon anyone, but it's like I talk about angels and such like that. It says, and I hope God is hearing me. I hope he is, because it seems like, oh, if I mention God on my Facebook page or something, I don't mention about it all the time, people go ballistic. You know, and it's like, why is it that when you wish someone well, all I wish is for people for, you know, well, and I hope everybody has the opportunity to make something of their lives. That's all that I wish. When I say, oh, bless you, or no, yeah, have a good day, or say, God be with you, people get insane. And I'm just like, okay, because I'm wishing you well, you want to, like, almost, like, stab me with a knife. And I'm just sitting there. I was like, maybe values? I mean, I don't know how it is, because where I live, I could be sitting here not doing this radio show, because I live with peace. I have a job. I have a roof over my head. I feel very lucky. I could be sitting down, just kicking back, not doing nothing, not saying a word, not speaking out, not doing nothing, you know, because I live in peace. But I think, because I know better, that I should speak outright, but speak in a positive way. I wish I knew big, huge words. Maybe I'll learn someday to speak really educated and such. But, you know, I just wanted to thank you for calling into my show. And, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time in. And you can call in any time. And if you have any updated news, you know, about, you know, Leon and his puppy dog or anything like that, you can find me on Facebook.
Okay.
And, you know,
yeah, I just sent you a private message.
Okay. I do appreciate that, and, you know, I will, if you have me as a friend, you're welcome to, and as long as everybody's respectful and stuff, everyone's always welcome to my page.
All right. Thank you, Shelley, and bless you.
And thank you, and let's just try to make this world a better place for everyone.
That's right, from the heart.
Yes. All right. Thank you for calling in, and have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, people, you know, I try my best, and I do apologize that maybe I don't sound as educated as a lot of people. I just try to talk and just as a normal person, you know, out there, and I'm usually as fast. I really am. I just go on. I usually I talk about Jackie Chan all the time and my dreams and films and such, but I think with what I'm given in this world, this radio show, and getting more into films and, you know, being connected with the stunt people in the world out there, you know, in Hollywood, in California, I'm getting connected more and more. And I know, you know, I could sit there and just try to be a big, huge, you know, superstar and try to, you know, do that. But I think with what, you know, I'm a nerd, I'm a geek, okay, admit it. I love sci-fi and all this stuff. But I think having a bigger voice, like Stan Lee and I think Buddha and everybody has said to me, well, Buddha didn't say it to me personally, but I'm like, you know, people that are my friends. And Stan Lee, like what Spider-Man had said that, you know, with great power, there comes great responsibility. And knowing that as I get more and more people and celebrities on my show, on shows when I don't have any guests, there's subjects that I can talk with and I can talk with in a respectable way. And I don't own a TV. I watch with what I want to watch so that I'm not programmed with society, with everything out there. And I try to view everything with an open heart and try to see things through my eyes. And, yes, I was born, I can't say really colorblind, but God made me colorblind. And when I'm looking at someone, this is really how I am. I look at something, and if something's different, I go, well, that's kind of weird. And I really ask silly questions, and people might look at me and going, what? But it's just asking questions instead of being afraid. And, you know, it's just how I am. And people will look at me like, she got to be crazy. This girl has got to be out of her mind. I will sit there and ask questions. And I'm very lucky and very, you know, very lucky to have a teacher. And his name is Ahura Zakora Deleuzer, and I consider him my big brother, my teacher. Everyone calls him Z if you can't pronounce it. And I sit and ask him questions, and even if they're kind of if they're kind of crazy, even if it's to do with race, and I'm going, well, Z, well, why is it just this? He might look at me, and I swear his eyebrow goes up like the Rock. And I sit there, and I do ask him questions because I want to know. And as stupid as something may sound, he will answer me, and he'll answer me in an intelligent way. And I swear there's some things that I did not know, people, because where I lived and what was taught in history books, swear to God, until I got out of high school, I did not really know anything about slavery. I did not know anything about Japanese encampments, if that's the right term, here in America. I did not know those things until I got out of high school. And I felt like the stupidest person in the world. And people like, Shelley, you are just naive, you know, not knowing these things. But it's like growing up as a kid, you know, it's like if you're supposed to have teachers, why could they not teach me things that were supposed to, you know, the truth? So I start seeking the truth and want to speak about them. If I lose friends today, from anywhere, on my Facebook page, or if I lose any friends whatsoever out there in the world, because I'm speaking about things that I've seen, but I'm speaking in a respectful tone, so be it. I just cannot stand by any longer when I see things, and I've been studying, like, other things, too, besides what I saw what happened to Leon, with what happened to me growing up and being bullied and, you know, beat up on a constant basis all the time. Wanted to get involved in a film called Bullied, you know, for the kids out there that feel alone. I was there, and I'm going to be part of this film. It's just an independent, it's called Bullied, and I want to take part of this. It will be filmed and taking action. You know, even though it's an independent film, I'm not some big, huge celebrity, but trying to do things, you know, trying to show, you know, to give honor, even with women, not just with certain subjects, what happened with Liam and such, to show with women, we can be leaders. And people are going to be like, oh, here we go with the feminist thing. No, I want to point something out, because people will think, if I mention the word feminist, I'm going to hate men, I want to cut off their wee-wees and put it in a formaldehyde jar, pickle it up and everything like that. You have got to reestablish something here today within yourself. When you hear the word feminist, it does not mean we hate men. It is something to show we are going to stand up and do the right things and be honorable. We will not be quiet and sit in the corner. We are warriors within ourselves. And that's what a true feminist does. I do not hate men at all. Let me tell you, I have more men that are friends because I can sit there and talk with them. And even with women, just because a woman could be prettier than me or whatever, if she has bigger boobs or whatever or anything like that, I'm not going to go and hate her. Why not sit there and come together and just, you know, bring people up? If someone's having a hard day and they're looking to you, why not reach your hand down and pull them up? Because one day, even if you may never see that person, or if it's on Facebook or something, when you say something, do you know that one little thing, when you pick something up, that is going to have a profound effect on someone. And I'm going to tell you people the honest truth about something. A couple years ago, okay, this is being honest, I wanted to kill myself and commit suicide. I know this is very shocking and such, but because my dream, and I know everybody's saying, here we go, talking about Jackie Chan. My dream is to work with Jackie Chan, you know, out there, and it's just something I want to do. I had people back in Boston, I was surrounded with, even though I got into the entertainment business, day in and day out, yelling and screaming at me, saying, Jackie Chan will never work with you. Well, one of my film brothers, and you can look him up, his name is Jay Giannone. He's worked with Jason Stratham. He's worked with Michael Shannon. And this is a man out there. He was actually out in California. I picked him up. I just got yelled at. I was having a bad day. I wanted to take a knife in the kitchen and kill myself and just end my life. I called up Jay. He didn't know how distraught I was. And I want him to know, because he's working on the big Hollywood films. And I got myself together and go, Jay, do you think it's possible I could work with Jackie Chan? Now, he's a man who's working out in the films out there, and he told me, not even flinched or anything, says, you know, Shelly, as long as you work hard, anything is possible. Because of what he had said to me, that had given me strength to survive and not thinking about killing myself ever again. So take with what I'm saying, because when you say something to someone, you do not know how bad of a day that person is having. That's why I'm on Facebook all the time, posting those quotes and the sayings and trying to be positive. I mean, I have my good days and bad days, and trying to show people, because I know there's people out there that don't have a life like myself. And like I said, I could be sitting here just kicking back, not giving a rap behind about anything that's going on in the world. But with what you say in this world, when someone's having a bad time in their life, in that time, you say one little thing, one little positive thing, that could save their life. That could turn their life. You don't know. They could go to college. They could, you know, live out their dream. So another thing, too, people, I actually got a hold of Jackie Chan. I really did. It was a couple years ago. My big brother, Hora Zakora DeLuisa, his daughter, wrote into a contest. And we got something from the Jackie Chan International Fan Club. And so many people that had told me and was so negative to me. And let me say, I have a picture of my brother Z before he got the tattoo on his face. Pointed. I will post it on my Facebook wall after the show. I will post the picture again. My face is really funny looking. It's not anything glamorous. I have my hair and a kitty cat cap on. And it shows my brother pointing to what Jackie Chan had sent to me. Well, it was actually his daughter, and this was the first time I got a hold of Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan knows I exist. That was half the battle. Then on top of that, everybody that said to me, and I wanted to do a fight scene. I really wanted to do a fight scene. I kept going to auditions. They wanted to give me the hooker scenes, the slut scenes, and all those scenes out there, all the nudity scenes. And everybody's like, oh, Shelly, you're such in great shape. You're all ripped up. You should go for those. It's a compliment. And when I went to read, I says, why do you people assume that I want to get down and get naked and be the sluts and the hoes? Why can't you just give me a basic fight scene to just be an extra, just for a fight scene? I've been doing this for 10 years, people. And because I am not the beauty queen, I am not this or that, they wanted to give me these less than roles that I think that I would be good for. So my brother Z, once again, when I told him that, guy's a big, big man. He's an accomplished martial artist. Sat there, and he goes, really? I told him, no one's given me a chance. And he goes, really? Well, I got a surprise for you. You're going to fight me. At first, I was all excited. I was like, I'm going to do a fight scene. But if you see Z and how big he is and much of and then I was like, I swear to God, this is something that I did not expect to happen. When we went to do the fight scene, I was all wrapped up. Now, I've got to admit, this is not the best fight scene in the world. When I went to fight a whore for our film, Anna Korea, and we did get in the theater, and I played three different characters in the film. Z got me to, it was Fort Williams in Maine. He goes, you're going to fight me, Shelley. And no one else wanted to give me a chance. He goes, come on, come at me. And I'm going, I don't want to hit you. I like you. And he goes, come on, Shelley, you got to fight me. And I was going at him. And we had no padding on the ground. He threw me. The first time he threw me, I went down and hit the ground. And it hurt. And I'm going, oh, my God, I got up like I was drunk. He goes, this is what you want, Shelly? When we did that fight scene, 2.5 hours. Now, another thing, too, is to break through, bringing up the point of all the films and such like that. It does not matter, once again, because, like with Leon, I think, you know, people not like myself are going to go back and think, look at Leon and see because of the color of his skin, which I do want to cry very much, where I cannot believe the comments and such on the YouTube videos, and I'm trying not to cry because they're very bad. And I swore I would not cry, but I want to say something. My big brother, Horace Zucora DeLiza, we're not blood related. But he became my big brother, and he gave me strength because of a whore as a core DeLiza. The man's, not that this would matter, he's not white. He's many different nationalities. Not that this matters, but for a point, this man, who is not blood related, took me under his wing. He trained me for a year in Tai Chi. And I am so thankful because the man has opened my eyes. I would not be sitting here on a radio show to you today with you ladies and gentlemen. I would not be speaking about Leon. I would not be doing all these things. He has given me strength to believe in myself, to open my eyes, you know, besides, you know, sitting there saying, I want to work with Jackie Chan. I could be doing that, just going out, not caring about nothing else in this world, building up my resume just to look like, to be around all these celebrity people. But Z, I can sit and talk with him. Believe me, he is a teacher, and he's taught me a lot, and I can sit and talk with him. And no matter how silly I sound, he'll sit there, not judge me. He'll give me an answer. Sometimes I don't like the answers that he gives me, or he'll give me an answer. I won't understand what it is at the time. He goes, you'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden it'll hit me. In learning, though, out there in the world, I could be sitting, like I says, I could be sitting in a little bubble, not doing anything, resting this whole afternoon, watching marathons of, you know, crappy films. But because I have my own free will and my own mind, Z has opened me up to the world. Like I said, I wanted to know about questions and so many things. And even before Z, I learned something really the hard way, people. Now, out there, everybody's different. You know, when people talk with accents and, you know, with, you know, different languages and stuff, and as you can see, I talk kind of funny. All I know is English. I would like to learn another language someday, and we'll try. I stepped into a dojo even before getting into acting. And in the martial arts, I took up capoeira. And it's something where I learned the hard way because it was taught in Portuguese. And trying to learn the movements in a different language that taught me something. Besides getting beat up legally in a dojo, trying to learn the movements in another language, that was very hard. So stepping into someone's shoes, learning the hard way what it feels like to be on the other end. So I do know from learning the hard way with everything, that's what I learned. And I know today I cannot, you know, I'm sorry if I bounce back and forth, but I have points to everything I'm saying. Once again, going back to Leon, no matter what I say, it's not going to take away the hurt for Leon. And I really wish, you know, in his heart it will be lightened. And I hope all the light and love is going to be sent to this man and his family for him losing his dog, Max. I hope someday, you know, his heart will just heal. I don't know if it will or not, but I send him blessings all the way on the other side of the United States. And I hope Leon will smile once again. And people, I hope I'm going to have a bigger voice. I hope I will become even more educated on these subjects. I'm trying. I really, really am. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm learning as I go. And I don't mean to sound so naive in the things I say. This is what I know from what I see and trying to be educated. So everyone that's tuned in, just remember, you may be one person, but you can make a difference in this world. And if you have a dream, no matter what it is, you go for it because you're as good as anybody else. And for all those out there that do want to see my work and what I'm becoming part of, where we're showing women in a very positive light. There is a Facebook page besides myself, you know, Shelly Nunchucks. It's Shelly comma Nunchucks, like the word comma, K-R-M-A. If you want to know what I'm about, you're welcome to go there. If you're shy, you don't have to, you know, friend me. You can see what I'm about. You can Google me. But the film that I am part of called Falcyr, it's F as in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R. We do need people's help. If you can donate money, and you will help to show women in a positive light with all different backgrounds. I'm playing a Valkyrie. I'm one of the leads. And let me say, the training, what we've gone through this winter up here in Maine, we were training in the snow up to our knees. It was very cold. You know, we're going to have to do a lot more training before the battle. And we're five different women, and we're very different each. We're not size zero. We're all different sizes. We all come from different backgrounds. And I don't know how to describe each and one of those characters. You can go to Falcyr. And if you want to know about Falcyr, Director Z, or Horace the Cordeliza, why he's actually doing the film is because his teacher was women. And he's doing the film Falcyr to show respect and honor his teachers. So be able to do this in the day that I stand side by side with Director Z as him playing Thor. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is playing Thor. And I'm playing a Valkyrie. His lovely wife, Sonari, is playing one of the other lead Valkyries. And other girls that I'm with, we're standing side by side as sisters. We do not have to take our clothes off to be leads in a film. We will be doing our own stunts, our own fights. We were taking horseback riding lessons, and we're going to have to train more. And let me say, it is very hard work to do an honorable film. It is an independent film. If anybody, well, not, you know, anybody that's listening, we need your help to donate. Do not come to my Facebook page to donate money, because we do need your help. Go to Falcare and write to them. You will be helping establish a very honorable film to show women in a very positive light. The music is done by Ahura and his wife. It's called, if I'm trying to say this as best as I can, Pisces Project. They're doing the music. So we do need your help out there. To donate, go to Falcare. Do not write to me about donations. I'm just the actress that does one of, you know, some of our own stunts. Go to Falcare, F-A-L-C-Y-Y-R. You will see the hard work. We've been filming for over a year, and I'm telling you, I started seeing the battle armor, and I feel very lucky and very blessed, because the day I am doing that on film, doing the battle scene, I'm going to feel like my idol, Jackie Chan, seeing all those films, studying all those films from many different countries, the great battles, the great scenes, not just here in America. I am lucky, even as their subtitle, to be seeing a lot of those Asian action films. I'm very lucky and very blessed. And I'm going to try very hard to give my all for this film and show that as a woman, I do not have to take my clothes off to do a lead. I do know that doing stunts and fights, it's hard work. And to all those stuntmen out there that have friended me, you know, not just like everywhere out there in Hollywood and California, thank you so much. Thank you for just being my role models, and I'm going to try to bring honor into films my own way. Once again, Leon, you have my full support out there, and many blessings to you. But everyone out there, enjoy your Sunday. And let's try to make changes in this world as best as I can. And I will try my best. I am going to end the show, like always, on a positive note. Jackie Chan Kitty, my kitty that I actually rescued, she was a stray. And she's my little furball co-host here sitting with me. She's being very good. I will end the show once again on a positive note with our song from, it's going to be for our battle theme called Battle Song by Pisces Project. And you can all check it out. And I look forward, and, you know, everyone that listens to the show, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. If anybody would like to get in touch with me, has ideas for the show, please write to me. If you want to be a guest on my show, please write to me. I will try to get you on. If you have something you want to help promote, if you're in the independent films, if you want to write something that needs a little bit of attention, but it has to be something to do with honor, please write with me. I will try to get people on the show as best as I can. And we can change this world. Anyway, everyone, thank you for tuning in. And you enjoy the rest of your day. And as I end the show, here is Battle Song.